Hola, I'm Hannah.
Hola, I'm Rochelle, and you're listening to Box Box F1 Pod.
Vámonos.
A México.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
For those of you who don't speak Spanish.
Or watch Dora the Explorer on a weekly basis.
We're in Mexico. Can you say Mexico? Okay, I gotta stop. today was the Mexico Grand Prix. It was quite an exciting Grand Prix for a whole minute, and we will be getting into that. But first, it's time for our digital warm-up.
Do-do-do. Lap one. Where in the world did they go? Part two.
Last week we talked about where everyone spent their between Grand Prix time, and some things that we left out that hadn't happened yet were that Mick and Esteban went on vacation together. We teed them off in our cowboy hat off on our stories a couple weeks ago, and just so everyone knows, Mick won by a landslide. Like, Esteban got one vote. And they messaged and said it was an accident. They meant to click on Mick.
Well, Mick comes from a horse family.
He does indeed. And they practice Western dressage, so he's particularly familiar with the cowboy hat.
Esteban is an icon for being a French sandwich.
He's always a French sandwich.
Yeah, so obviously Mick was naturally gonna win.
Exactly. He did the cowboy hat tip, you know, the tip.
Yeah.
And Esteban like, just looked
stood
unnatural.
There.
He looked like a Frenchman in a cowboy hat. So.
Yeah.
Another big thing that happened that is worth mentioning is that Daniel Ricciardo spent his Halloween with Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
They're all obsessed with each other.
A lot. They're super obsessed with each other. Particularly Dax with Daniel.
Yep, they have a bromance.
Yep. They were his guests at the Austin Grand Prix, and I guess they shimmied on back to LA where they celebrated the Halloween weekend together with a hayride, as you do. Okay.
Lap two, birthdays. Mattia Binotto turned 52.
And Ferrari's graphic wrote 52 in giant numbers, like, just so no one doubts Mattia's age. It's 52. I guess Italians don't care about aging.
I mean, I think that's good, but yeah. Obviously Americans are ashamed after they hit 30 for some reason.
My mom's been 26 for, like, a couple years now.
And it just instills a sense of fear in everyone in their 20s, you know? Of the anxiety of becoming 30 and older. And it's like, yes. You shouldn't really fear the midpoint of life. You know?
Like,
we're not dying. Mattia turning 52 is great.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will peak soon.
And I mean, what would Mattia's midlife crisis be? Buying a Ferrari?
No.
He's got one. Anyway, I'm glad that Mattia doesn't care how old he is, but also he's not on social media, so we have no idea how he feels about the situation. And he didn't bother coming to the Grand Prix, so we couldn't ask him in an interview either.
Well, like, the reason why he's not at the Grand Prix is because he's focusing on the 2022 car. So I imagine he spent his birthday tinkering away on a Ferrari.
As most men at 52 do, so.
Yeah, no, but yeah, his midlife crisis will for sure be buying some sort of trash. A Jeep.
Maybe he'll get a Netflix subscription.
Treat yourself.
Speaking of men who don't need to be told to treat themselves, Zach Brown's birthday was today as well. And, not Mattia's was a couple days ago, but Zach's was specifically today. McLaren, far more classy and far more British, did not reveal Zach's age, but Wikipedia did. He's 50. No one wished him a happy birthday of the drivers.
I didn't see him today.
Yeah, I didn't see him either. Maybe he was celebrating his birthday. His curse, the birthday curse, reigned strong.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was nowhere to be found. Well, I hope you had a great time, Zach.
I hope he never does this again.
It's not okay.
We needed him. Also,
maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, 50 is actually a milestone, so okay, fine, if he just does it this year. I wonder what his midlife crisis purchase will be, because he already got a dick tattoo.
Maybe that was a prep. That explains the tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Also, we should share that the reason why he got that tattoo is because Toto nominated Zach for... I forget what the contest is, but, like, Zach was nominated by Toto to do something that he's the most afraid of, and Zach is so afraid of needles, and is an honest person. So he said, I'm afraid of needles, and the scariest thing for me is to get a tattoo, and then he had to do it.
Yeah, I would have lied about my biggest fear. I would be like, my biggest fear is eating Nutella from the jar, and then yes. I would have done that.
You have to have some respect for the people who nominate you. If you lie to Toto Wolf, I mean,
that's
then
true.
All hell breaks to loose. Yeah.
Toto Wolf was a lot in the news about his relationship with other, like, there was this bet with Zach Brown. In a different interview, he said he wasn't going to be getting dinner with Christian Horner anytime soon. And it's like, thanks, Toto. We figured. But thanks for confirming. Anyway, happy birthday to our two... Oh, Mattia's not a favorite, but he's...
Our favorite and least favorite team principal.
Oh, okay, he is not the least favorite.
No, there's some team principals I don't even know the names of.
That's true.
So I guess those are our least, but I'll say I would say Zach Brown, though, is our fave.
Zach Brown, 100%.
I like our Mattia. Favorite and our fourth favorite.
Fourth. So are our favorites just the top...
four teams? Yeah. Because, like, it's a... Well, okay, wait, actually,
we Lawrence, love Gunther.
Lawrence and Gunther.
And Lawrence.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mattia has suddenly dropped to, like, seventh.
I am fascinated by Mattia. I would love to explore him as a human being more.
Mamma mia.
Pizza, pasta, Mattia.
Espresso.
All right, we've insulted the Italian people enough for today. Lap three. Some other stuff that happened during this past break week is Daniel Ricciardo was on Ellen.
Which is fitting because they're both bubbly people.
Yes, although Daniel's reputation for kindness slightly exceeds Ellen's, I think.
Well, yes, as of recent findings from her staff.
Not the best.
But her on-screen presence is quite yes. friendly, which is a huge contrast, evidently.
Don't believe everything you see, it turns out. I do wonder if she's good friends with Dax and Kristen. So could this have been a recommendation? Because she says she watched Drive to Survive. From all the questions she asked, I'm not totally sure she did. I think a staff member might have watched and
she's
they told her.
She's a liar.
her main questions were, do you pee in the car? And also...
Just like pee everywhere.
And she was like, so what do you do? And he was like, I drive really fast around the world, which I thought was a great summary.
That is. But it's like literally an explanation for a third grader.
Yes. I mean, he is talking to an American audience, so I suppose
yeah, actually that's adjusted. Very good, knowing your audience lesson. Yes,
good job, Daniel. And then Ellen asked, why do you have to stay so fit? I drive myself to work every day, and I don't have to exercise to do it. Which great point, Ellen.
Well,
we don't have to exercise.
Well, Ellen doesn't need to be aerodynamic, does she? Like, Ellen, please understand the basic physics of F1. You can't just be driving every day while having a Big Mac.
Ellen, we highly recommend a podcast called Boxbox F1 Pod, where they really break down these basics for people like you.
Objectively, she would benefit.
Unobjectively, we want Ellen to listen to our podcast. Anyway, I'm glad that F1 is getting this exposure in the United States.
Me too.
Could have gone better, in my opinion.
Well, he could have been on, like, SNL or Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
or
he was on daytime TV.
With someone who's been canceled.
Oh.
So.
Literally canceled. Let's hope next step is a late night. I think James Corden would make the most sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that for sure.
So let's hope James Corden's next. All right. Speaking of celebrities doing big things, Lewis Hamilton's Wall Street Journal cover that we talked about last week recognized him as, like, most influential sports person. And it turns out they recognize other people, too, including Kim Kardashian for Skims and Lil Nas X for music. And they hosted an event to celebrate all these influential people. So there was a lot of Lewis Kim K content.
Unrelated to the Wall Street Journal thing, Lewis posted when he arrived in Mexico in, like, some sort of outfit. And he said, while in Mexico, please call me Luis.
Is it pronounced Luis?
I don't know. What do you think?
Louis? I don't know. That's French, though. I don't know.
Yeah. No, probably I think it's Luis. Yeah.
L-U-I-S.
Yeah, L-U-I-S. And if you remember, when he was in Paris for Fashion Week, he said, while I'm in Paris, please call me Louis. And so then I looked up all the variations of the name Louis. In Italian, it's Luigi, which he really had a missed opportunity in Monza, in my opinion. That would have been so funny if he was like, while in Monza, please call me Luigi. Also, in German, it's Ludwig, which the only person I know is Beethoven. Right?
Probably because after Beethoven, they're like, this isn't the best name. Maybe we should retire this name. Yes. I think there's a couple more composers that were Ludwig. So, but anyway, we decided that we will be referring to Lewis by his name as related to the country he's in from now on. So get ready for Monza next year.
Luigi's
coming in hot. Mario, Luigi.
Yeah, who would be Mario? Oh, I guess Matt? George now.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
George.
George is the least Mario ever.
He has nothing to do with Italian plumbers.
He's Princess Peach at, like, best.
Yeah. He's, like, helplessly, like, screaming.
We love George, though. He's just quite posh, like a princess.
Yeah.
Anyway, yep, that's our Lewis overview. Did we finish the WSJ thing? Yeah, we did. He attended an event, took a picture with Kim K. It was a whole thing.
And Lil Nas X. I just have to say, it was kind of a weird event to have right now, because Skims, Old Town Road, and Lewis's F1 championships all happened a few years ago.
Yeah, like, but Kim just released a Fendi thing, and then Lewis is, like, extra good now.
Yeah.
I guess whoever awarded him don't know about Max.
And Lil Nas X did release that kind of, like, controversial single about, like, strip dancing in hell.
Yep. And then there
was groundbreaking.
The blood sneakers. Yeah, yeah. Groundbreaking.
Yeah. So, whoever gave out these awards really did minimal research.
Yeah. They probably looked most famous people right now on Twitter. And then they picked the top three.
Yeah.
Lap 4, race week content. There was quite a bit. Most alarmingly, there were about, like, 8,000 Checo cardboard cutouts lining the streets of Mexico City.
The circle of life of an F1 tree can be summarized as being planted and birthed to repent and offset the toxic fumes and carbon emissions of F1, and then dying to be rebirthed as Checo, as a cardboard cutout.
So it truly is a giving tree.
Yes.
Oxygen, it gives cardboard cutouts. What more could you ask for?
It gives the owners of F1 good feelings about themselves.
And that's actually what the trees are for.
Yes.
Good feelings.
Yes.
Another positive thing, Hannah was at the store today and saw that Clif Bars are planting 1 million trees. So
where?
Just in general.
Yes. They just released their seasonal flavor, peppermint bark.
Mm.
And I guess they feel real bad about that.
Lots of people feeling real guilty about existing, so plant a tree.
But obviously planting trees to offset stuff has been around for, forever, but I just feel like it's really... Trees are having a year in 2021.
It's the year of the tree.
Yeah, I haven't seen, this much. I don't know if I'm more aware and see it now, but I just feel like every day there's a tree being planted by some different company.
I do think we're more cognizant of it because we have started following the most damaging sport, the environment.
Yeah.
Are we... what's the word?
Complicit?
Yeah.
No, because they're using hybrid engines and they do plan to go electric.
You're right. The planning to go electric is what makes it okay.
I think if we were F1 fans in pre-hybrid era, mm-hmm. and they were also driving around with Marlboro all over them, we would be hella complicit.
Killing people, killing the planet. Just degaff.
We're in an acceptable era.
Yeah, okay. It's okay to like F1 now. We are less complicit. And we're spreading awareness, therefore, we're
good. I've been talking about trees for weeks.
So, yeah, we have. All right, speaking of degaffing, Haas had a football night the last night, Saturday night, night. It was 10 o'clock at night. Nikita organized it. There was pizza. Don't know why they were eating pizza in Mexico City, but they were. And Mick was there. They were all there. It was very wholesome content. I just feel like it's quite clear they really don't give a fuck. Because I don't know if you should be playing a soccer game the night before a race.
I mean, first eating pizza... It's like an oily mess the night before a big event. And then also, I'm sure they didn't, play super intensely, but what if someone rolled an ankle, you know?
Yeah.
Do you need to be doing physical activity and eating oil the night before?
You should be, tossing a tennis ball to your engineer before you go on, not playing football or soccer, whatever they're playing, and eating greasy pizza. They clearly don't care how much they weigh. It makes no difference to their car.
Because they're either going to finish last or DNF, so what's the disqualification, you know, at that point?
So we drive fat. What's the big deal?
It can't make the cars any... they can't weigh the cars down anymore.
Nope.
The quality issues are weighing them down so much already.
Yeah, what's a slice of pizza when your car is a pile of junk?
It literally is like Talladega Nights when the Laughing Clown team just lets their pit crew member start driving. It's just it's probably against the rules, but literally
no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah. Someone said they ate five tacos.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not. But I guess if you're not Haas, you need to be careful. Oh, okay, so a fan asks Verstappen and Bottas how many tacos they could eat in a day. Max said, I had 4 yesterday. I thought that was quite a lot. And then Valtteri said, I think I could do 30. And Max said, if I would eat that many, you could roll me through the room. And I feel like Max is very concerned about his weight. I feel like he has to be quite careful. Because he said the same thing when Yuki was like, I ate this and this and this and this. And Max was like, if I ate that, you'd have to roll me through the room.
Also, all I envision is Max blowing up into a ball and then people rolling him.
The blueberry from Charlie the Chocolate Factory that got blown up and they had to roll her around.
That's exactly how I picture him whenever he uses that phrase.
Part of me thinks that it must be a direct translation from a Dutch phrase or something.
Yeah.
Because he keeps saying getting rolled out of the room and I'm like...
Rarely does that happen.
Very rarely.
Just a blueberry boy.
You have to eat some malfunctioning candy in order for that to happen.
But yeah, I respect Valtteri's answer of 30.
Me too. I love how Max is like, I have 4. That's so many.
That's literally 4 tacos is like an appetizer.
Oh, not for Max, apparently. Yeah, Bonas doesn't care anymore, right? Bonas would eat, drink coffee, do whatever. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yes, the signs of degaffing is eating and drinking coffee whenever you want.
In F1, that's how you rebel.
Yes, what a rebel.
Speaking of eating bad stuff, Williams, in the spirit of Mexico, had a piñata.
They're really bad at crossing bridges to other cultures.
Truly.
They're so British.
I can imagine the marketing meeting for this Grand Prix, and they're like, what is Mexican? Sombreros and a piñata. Got it.
It's like they went to Party City and just went in the Mexican aisle.
Anyway, Williams had a Williams car-shaped piñata, and it suffered the same sort of experience that a regular Williams car gets on your average race.
An embarrassingly painful beating.
Yes. The video was Latifi filming George trying to hit the piñata, as you do, but George clearly was not satisfied with the performance of his bat or piñata, so he grabbed a hold of the piñata and just hit it.
Piñatas are supposed to be fun, but he was, like, murdering this piñata, and despite all this force, it did not explode in candy.
No, it didn't. Part of me feels that it might have something to do with his feelings about driving a Williams car. And the result was still representative of a Williams car, just still didn't do what it was meant to do, which was explode with a bunch of candy.
And that concludes our digital warm-up. Do-do-do.
All right. Time for the racing rhyme. Say it with us. Free practice, quali, race day. Come on, Vominos. Everybody, let's go. Come on, let's get to it. I know that we can do it. Where are we going? Quali. Top 4 were Bottas, Lewis, Max, and Checo. Golly, Red Bull got Tsunoda, but things aren't looking so bleak for Valtteri. Unfortunately for Mercedes, it turned out to be quite the contrary. Where are we going? Race day. Come on, Vominos. It slides off and away they go. But barely into turn 1, it's already quite the show. Everything happened at once, but here's a play-by-play. Yuki and Mick crash and are out, much to everyone's dismay. Meanwhile, Max flies from 3rd to 1st in just the first corner, while Bottas gets tapped by Daniel, to the delight of Christian Horner. Valtteri spins wildly into the middle of the track, and goes from P1 to P18, just like that. But that wasn't it for Bottas today, as things went from bleak to bleaker, forced into 2 extra long pit stops just to steal Red Bull's point for fastest speeder. It worked, but Red Bull couldn't give an F about them, because Max was a purple blur from beginning to end. And Checo got so close to taking second from Lewis, but to no avail. Doesn't matter, though, because Sergio still prevailed. For Sergio, was 3rd on the track, but 1st in our hearts. After all, the crowd's been chanting, Checo, from the start. Where are we going? To Kaigo's party to celebrate our driver of the day. Today, Checo became everybody's padre.
Okay, for some necessary context, how many times have you watched Dora the live action film?
Like 4 times.
Yeah, so if everyone is wondering why Dora's been referenced pretty much every 5 minutes, it's because of that. But I enjoyed that because that was a great film and a great show.
It taught me so much as a child. Quick PSA for anyone who has not watched the live-action Dora the Explorer. It is truly a masterpiece. All right, on to the race analysis.
So Lance Stroll like, out of nowhere, just started spinning around and hit the wall and got into a huge crash with himself. I mean...
Sounds like Lance's life, to be honest.
Yep. So then he had to repair his car later, and he went to, like, the back of the grid. I guess Haas got into a little tiff.
Nikita was complaining that Schumacher wouldn't let him pass, and that he should let him go. And his engineer says, negative, stay behind. And Nikita goes, are you having a laugh? And the engineer goes, no, I'm not having a laugh, Nikita. It was so serious.
I guess they're all still unclear on how to handle these two in terms of
passing. Yeah.
It's just like, just figure it out.
Yeah, it's not that
well, I guess actually what Gunther said is that he's not going to get involved and they have to figure it out amongst themselves.
Well,
and
Gunther is busy.
Yeah, Gunther's busy, and I don't know where the engineer is getting his opinions or orders from, but yeah, no one's on the same page on that team, clearly.
No. They need to hire that therapist from Ted Lasso.
Oh, yes. Well, both Nikita and Mick probably both have deeper issues. Because they're both daddy drivers. Everyone has daddy issues that they need to work out in therapy, not on the track.
Theme of the year, trees and daddy issues. All right, the ending of Q1, or qualifying, the ending of qualifying. Basically, everyone expected the track to favor Red Bull, but it ended up being that there was a Mercedes lockout at the top of the grid. And it was the first Mercedes lockout all season. With Valtteri in first and Lewis in second. And the commentator said Bottas is in the form of his life since getting dropped by Mercedes.
Yeah.
Personally and professionally.
Like, since that announcement that he's going to Alfa Romeo, in races where he's just able to, like, where something horrible didn't happen to him, and, like, he's free to just be, like, drive and be himself, he's been amazing. Like, he's gotten pole positions, like, podiums and all that. But, obviously, like, today and then those races where Mercedes made him take penalties, those are the only situations where he hasn't done well.
Yeah, external interferences happen quite
awful.
A bit.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, it is true. He is in the form of his life. If people just let him live...
Leave Bottas alone. Yeah. But so third was Max and fourth was Checo. Okay, so this is what happened, basically. So Yuki Tsunoda went off the track. Checo got distracted by this happening and there was dust. And so then he went off the track. And it was confusing at first because Yuki was like chilling there and then Checo was there and we were like, what's happening? But then they replayed it and people figured it out. And then Max came bobbing along and he's like, what's going on? Is there a party on the side of the field? So he slowed down and that they blamed that all on Yuki.
Yep.
Which I guess technically he was a chain reaction. They were like the instigator for all this. But the new phrase is Tsunoda'd. And I really wish it was more positive because I think Tsunoda'd can't be a very positive verb.
Yeah, I feel like Tsunoda'd can be like eating something and something good happening, you know?
Yes.
But Max said, unbelievable, such a dumb idiot. Regarding probably Yuki. I think he likes Checo quite a bit.
I think he likes Yuki too.
Yeah, off track. You know?
That's true. But, like, also, because until they replayed, we didn't know whose fault it was, so he could have also thought that it was Checo, but I've never heard him refer to Checo as a dumb idiot.
Yeah, and I don't think Max talks shit about Yuki, but obviously I can envision him not having much respect for Yuki's driving style. Which is just boisterous and out of control.
Boisterous? You'd think aggression would respect aggression, but I guess they are aggressive in
different ways. Max is clinical. Yuki is...
gamey.
Gamey?
Gamey. Not like gamey, like meat. Sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking about elk. Words.
Yeah. Yuki the elk galloping through the track until it crashes.
I think Yuki's intention was to actually not distract them at all by going to the side.
Yeah, I think that was his goal. And then, yeah, I think you're right. He pulled over to not get in their way, and then he got in their way.
Poor Yuki, he can't win.
No, but we know what you meant to do.
Yes.
Anyway, starting grid was Valtteri Lewis, Max Checo, Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, great day for him.
I know. Carlos, Daniel, Charles, Vettel, and Kimi. Because originally Lando was in 10th, but he got a penalty. So he's in the... Oh, and Yuki was 9th and Lando was 10th, but they both got penalties.
And didn't Esteban?
And Esteban. Yeah, so four people started in the back. Lando, Yuki, Esteban, and Lance.
Yep. Okay, so on to the race. Lap 1, turn 1 was the most eventful part of this entire race. So everyone was turning into turn 1, so it was already super crowded, which I feel like was like the main problem. Like, no one intended to be crazy, but it was just so crowded. And so Daniel kind of was getting like squished in from all corners, and so then he accidentally hit Valtteri. And Valtteri spun like crazy, and Max ended up taking the lead, and Lewis was in second, and Checo was in third. And then Yuki and Mick were collateral damage from kind of all the spinning and, like, just crowdedness. And so then they got hit, and they DNF'd immediately.
Okay, so let's break it down again. Starting with Max. All the contenders that had something go wrong. Max took the lead in the most impressive, one of the most impressive, like, overtakes I've ever seen. Like, they were three in a row, I think he, right? It was Max, Lewis, and Valtteri. And he literally just went down the side, didn't even come close. It was so clean, and just zoomed off ahead. And just hell broke loose behind him while this happened.
Yep.
Checo got squished also in this, like, because it was so crowded. And he went off.
Into the grass.
And they did mention at the beginning of the race, because a lot of people were like, why didn't he get fined? The, what's his name? Michael Sassi said at the beginning of the race that in the first lap and any restarts, if you go off on that first lap but don't gain a lasting advantage, it's fine, you won't get in trouble. And Checo didn't gain a lasting advantage. So it was fine, but yeah, he spun off into the grass. Meanwhile, Valtteri got, like, squished backwards because of all these people lunging forwards. And Daniel, it was ruled a racing incident.
Yeah.
It wasn't Daniel's fault. No. But
he was squished too.
Yeah. He apologized though. He immediately said on the radio and then apologized.
Yeah, he felt really bad.
Yeah. He tapped Valtteri. It looked like the lightest tap ever.
Yeah.
But Valtteri spun like a dreidel all over the field. And then he just, like, stopped literally in the middle of the field. And I think at one point they said, like, the dust cleared and Sebastian almost crashed into him, or Alonso, one of the old guys. I think it was Alonso or Sebastian, almost crashed into him, but the dust cleared right in time and he swerved around him. But in, like, literally a second, all of these cars went around the pole position and he ended up in P18, which was wild. And I guess a lot of this drama trickled down to the back. And poor Esteban Ocon got caught in a little French sandwich. Baguette number one was Yuki. Baguette number two was Mick. And they both, like, flew. and they DNF'd. But yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, because basically after that, not exactly right after that turn, but basically after the first few laps, it was Max, Lewis, Checo, Pierre, Charles, Carlos, Seb, and Kimi. And, like, that was basically the same order for the majority of the race. Obviously, there were pit stops that, like, interfered with that, but, like, nothing so dramatic, and, like, those were basically the results, too. But the pit stops were good between Red Bull and Mercedes, except for Valtteri's, of course, but Lewis, Checo, and Max all had good pit stops today.
If I told you, let's say you didn't watch the race, and I was like, Hannah, all the Mexican pit stops were super fast, like faster than they have been the last few times, except for one person, who would you guess is that person?
There's only one person it could be, because Toto hates him. I mean, it has to be the person who has the longest pit stop in F1 history of 48 hours.
Oh man, the poor guy. And it was a nut situation again.
Yeah, so okay, let's just get into that. It was in lap 42, but basically he comes into the pit lane and a smoke show starts happening. Valtteri was a smoke show.
Yeah, he was. He's always a smoke show, but this was a literal smoke show.
And so he's smoking, and then the commentators are like, oh, must be a sticky wheel nut. And they're like, his brakes are smoking from self-combusting. But they were so nonchalant. Well, they felt really bad, but it was like, yeah, it's just self-combusting.
There he goes again. Self-combusting nuts.
It was 11.7 seconds. Because everyone else, like Red Bull and like Lewis, were like 2.2, 2.3, like 2.5-ish.
Yeah. I think it's also important to point out that this was a second. They said it was a one race pit stop. This is a second pit stop that they made in order to get the fastest lap from Red Bull. So it was detrimental to his race. And then they made him pit a third time, right?
Yeah.
They made him pit a third time to try again for the fastest lap. They changed his tires again. And the worst part is that he never surpassed the top 10. He was never getting that point. He was just his job was just to make it worse for Red Bull.
Yeah. And it did work.
It did. They lost that point.
It was kind of funny where Max was on the radio after he won his race with Christian, and Christian's like, "You won this race for like the third time, and you got fastest lap." And then Max gave a whole little spiel like, "I want to thank the team, like you've all been amazing, blah blah blah." And then at the end, Christian goes, "Sorry, actually you didn't win fastest lap. Valtteri just got it." And then it was just radio silence from Max.
Okay. The one time I give a wonderful speech, thank you to the whole team.
But yeah, so Mercedes' strategy worked, but of course it was humiliating in the process.
Yeah, but honestly, I other than the awkwardness of all that for Red Bull, they didn't really care.
No, because they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. And Valtteri was like, I get knocked down. Not gonna get up again. I'll just
just gonna head over to Alfa Romeo now.
Okay, there were a bunch of other pit stops that were just good.
Yeah, we really just need to focus on Checo, because that's who literally every single person who was at the Mexican Grand Prix, that's what they were there for.
It was a repeat of Zandvoort. Well, I pronounced that. So
The
Dutch Grand Prix, but
yeah, the Orange Army.
Yeah, the Orange Army, but the Checo Army.
Yes.
And you could hear them. He's like, I could hear them in my car. Usually, you can't hear. They can't hear fans. Yeah. But he was like, I could literally hear them shouting.
All of Mexico was there. They were so loud, and even in the post race interview when Checo came up, the interviewer couldn't even really ask a question.
Yeah,
he could not speak over the cheers, which rarely happens.
Can I just say that I think Checo's family is just my favorite family to ever exist.
Best his little family ever. His
father was running around flying the Mexican red flag like a maniac. Yeah. And that man does not look like he can run in just in general.
He was in a blue suit.
Yeah, he's hefty in a suit and he was like running around. And then Max and Checo paused to take a picture with the Mexican flag, and he stood in the middle. He like squished in between them to be in the photo too.
Yes, Checo's dad is amazing. And then of course Chiquito, so many great shots. So first in his post-race interview, Checo was, it was like from his like chest up, and then they're like, who's this little guy? And then the camera like points down, and Chiquito is just like picking stuff off Checo's pants the entire interview, and is like so cute and shy. And then when Checo was on the podium like holding up the trophy and like champagne, it did a POV shot from Chiquito on the side of the podium stage like looking at his father.
Yeah, he was very cute. He is like flopping around all over the place. During Christian's post-race interview, we could see him like climbing up and down the Red Bull like paddock. Amazing. He's just all over the place. And I love his little mushroom bowl cut.
Yes.
So cute. And but the weird thing that I thought happened was that Lewis in his post-race interview said, with Checo being behind me for so many laps at the end, you know that their car is fast. Something along those lines. And I was like, well, that's kind of rude.
It is rude, but I don't think it was personal to Checo because the entire theme of all of his commentary was focused on the cars. He didn't explicitly say it, but his implication was just like, his car is slow.
Yeah.
He was doing that thing again where he deflects. So, and like, even with Max, like, trying to catch up to Max, he's like, his car is just so fast. So, I mean, obviously, the driver matters. So, I don't think he was trying to, like, imply that. I think he was just trying to make the point and being passive aggressive to his own team about, like, we need to get our shit together.
He was sad.
Yeah, he was depressed. Because Lewis, like, either is leading a race or he has some bad setback, but like makes up a lot of places. So he has something positive to highlight. Like, even though I finished like third or whatever, I'm glad like I was able to make up stuff and like the team helped. But this race must have been super frustrating because he was stuck in second the entire time.
Yeah, he didn't like do anything and he at all, bad or good.
Like, second isn't bad, but it's just like he had no progress to show.
Hannah, if you ain't first
you're last. You know, Ricky Bobby's dad, when he sobered up, he was like, why did I say that? You could be third.
you could be fourth.
So, you know, even that movie questions that, but obviously Lewis didn't finish the film.
Nope, he probably stopped right then. He's like, got it. Dias did message me, and he was like, at the beginning when Max got ahead, he was like, I feel like Lewis has lost a championship right now.
For the year?
Yeah, like the world championship.
Well, let me go over the results super quick, and then we can go through the standings. Okay, so the podium was Max, Lewis, Checo. And then Gasly got fourth. Great for him, even though he wasn't really highlighted at all, sadly.
He did well, though. He had a great
time. Yeah. Ferrari had an amazing time. So, obviously, Mattia's birthday didn't curse them. So, Charles finished fifth and Carlos sixth, which is also especially good because McLaren really struggled today. Seb finished 7th, and Kimi 8th, Alonso 9th, and then Lando in 10th. And
there's just a trio of senior citizens.
Yeah, senior citizens.
Rocked today.
Yeah, McLaren really struggled. Daniel, I'll just note, ended up in 12th, so he didn't get any points.
But and Bottas?
Fastest lap.
13th or 14th?
Yeah, somewhere down there, but he did get the fastest lap just to steal it from Max, so he didn't get a point. Yeah, Bottas ended up in 15th. So then, those were the results of the race today, and so now the standings are Max with 312.5 points, which is, oh my gosh, trying to do math, like 9 points above Lewis, who has 293.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do that math right?
It is 9 points, yes.
No, it's more than that.
19 points.
Yeah, 19 points. So I guess it's kind of hard, though, because they always end up kind of in 1-2 positions. So it's hard to make up 20 points unless, like, Max doesn't podium and, you know, like...
Yeah.
If they just both keep finishing races on the podium, then, it's pretty much over. He, like, Lewis basically now has to bank on Max having a disaster. Yeah, so Valtteri has 185 points, and Checo has 165. I think Valtteri will end up third, though. Unless they screw him for every single race left, which is about four.
There's still time!
Yeah.
Strategy meeting. How can we make Bottas get the worst possible position?
And then Lando is at 150... Charles has 138, Carlos 130.5, and Daniel at 105. So
Daniel's still doing pretty well considering he has such a, like, that's high enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a bit lower. I mean, he did win, so I guess
not. Let me tell you something. Daniel might be looking fine, but today was a big day for Ferrari because they leaped over McLaren into third. And I have to say, like, Lando obviously didn't do well, but Daniel didn't pull his weight at all. At least Lando got 1 point today.
Daniel put a lot of his weight into Bottas.
But he didn't mean to and felt really bad.
He wanted
to cry post-interview or post-raise.
Lots of tears.
Yeah, he just didn't look well emotionally.
He was really confused. They're like, so what happened? He's like, I'm watching the replay now and this, and then maybe it was this. And then, you know, now that I'm looking at it, maybe this. And he's like, I'm a little lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably shouldn't ask people to do live, like, recap strategy.
Yeah. So in terms of the constructor standing, so despite Max being first in the drivers, Mercedes is still in the lead. And they have 478.5, but they're literally 1 point above Red Bull.
Oh, my God.
That is 477.5. And then, so Ferrari's in third now with 268.5. McLaren has 255. So
they really need to stop screwing Valtteri over for the sake of the champ, the
exactly.
driver.
Exactly. Like, do they even give
what does he want more?
What does he want more? World championship with a shit ton of money or humiliating Valtteri on a weekly basis? I don't know.
That's a toughie, honestly. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Really can't make up their mind. Daniel really screwed McLaren this week. More specifically,
Zach
turning 50.
Zach turning 50 and being like, YOLO, I'm done here. No one needs guidance on this team. And
he's going to come back with a face tat.
With an actual dick. You know, the whole theory that Michael, one of our boxes, sent in about Lando potentially being internalizing his failure?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously today he was most affected by the penalty he took that put him, like, towards the back of the grid, but...
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it is, like, a significant jump to start from the back, and he did get into the point, so he did really well, but I don't know, I just haven't really seen him highlighted or anything really happy, which is... I just find it bizarre, because we're always raving about Lando and seeing him be amazing and positive and all that, and I just feel like something's lacking.
There was a cute little moment in the post race interviews when they came up to the F1 post race show. They came up to the mic at the same time. Him and Carlos came up to the mic at the same time, and they had a cute little Carlando moment where
that's
they like
the only time Lando's happy now.
I know. It was really funny because neither the lady leading the interview who replaced what's his name.
Will Buxton.
Neither her or Nick DeVries, who was helping her out, had understood a word that they were saying.
Oh,
they were
my
just
God.
Like bantering.
They had no chemistry.
No, they were so bad.
Yeah,
so
they were awful.
I'm not the biggest fan of Will Buxton, but that was I miss.
Now I miss Will immensely.
Alrighty, let's pray for Lando's speedy emotional recovery.
Might as well throw in Daniel in there now, since he's emotionally wrecked.
They should pay Yuki a visit. prescribe them some gyoza or...
No, you know what? They need to go see Mr. Honda.
Yeah, they need a Mr.
The
Honda
King
hug.
Of Katsudon. Yeah, they need a hug.
That's
and
what
Katsu.
They're missing. Lando could easily do Katsu. It's just chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Basically.
Reframe.
All right. Driver of the day. Checo is the official driver of the day because he's the first Mexican F1 driver to podium at a home race. He's also the first Mexican driver to lead a race, and they made sure he got that stat. We love his father, and we love Chiquito. And is it Chiquito? Checo.
Yes.
Chiquito. I think his family as a whole deserves driver of the day and family of the day.
Yes. No, for sure. They're family of the day.
Yes. Max, I think, gets a solid second mm-hmm. place.
Yeah. I do think he deserves an honorary driver of the day for his beautiful overtake and then leaving everyone in flames.
Literally, he just flew by and everything blew up behind him.
I'm gonna just say Kygo was the DJ of the day, because, all these Mexican fans were already wild, like, screaming Checo for 2 hours straight, and then they were ready to party, and they did, like, even after they stopped chanting, it was still raging in that track, and so loud because Kaigo was playing live and everyone was dancing and screaming.
Why Kaigo?
I know, he's Norwegian.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's mainstream, though. Like, you know, yeah. Like in the clubs, Kaigo is always on. So I feel like he's just a popular man.
Kaigo's mainstream. He's, you know, in the clubs.
He is in the clubs.
In the clubs, on the track.
Yes.
That's where Kaigo's at.
Okay. Dick in the Box Box. Even though Daniel did cause an issue, it truly was unintentional. Even the stew agree.
Yeah. And they, so, the commentators are like, the stews are in a great mood today.
Yeah, they're not making anyone suffer greatly. No. So, okay. I don't think Daniel deserves it, but we have to acknowledge it caused a little chaos.
He wasn't a dick in the box box, but he did a dickish thing inadvertently.
Yeah.
His dick swung out. Nabbed.
Lovely visual. But as usual, the true dick in the box box of every race is Mercedes. Because why if they are have been the best team, like have a lot of money, have a great like staff, why are brakes smoking and wheel nuts sticking?
They're truly just having like parts malfunction. Their engines are Valtteri's a disaster. Car. I know. The engines, the nuts, the brakes. Just.
Like, are they poor?
It's the budget cap. They're ridiculous. Struggling.
This is literally what I imagine would happen, or probably does happen, in a Haas pit stop, but no one even puts a camera on them.
I've never seen a Haas pit stop.
No. It's like, I'm sure there's a smoke show every day.
There was the smoke that Lewis did have a smoke show when he pressed whenever he presses the magic button.
Yes, self-inflicted smoke. Different.
Very different.
Yeah.
I guess that concludes our debrief of the Mexico Grand Prix. The next Grand Prix is the Brazilian Grand Prix, where we will be eating pão de queijo. Don't know how to pronounce that. Brazilian cheese bread.
Yeah, and we have a triple header, actually.
Oh, this is the second one. Yeah, we're in the middle of a triple header. By the way, Kelly, Max's girlfriend, apparently decided to skip the Mexican Grand Prix and go straight home to Brazil. And she was posting about her flight, and the first thing her and her daughter ate was a cheese bread.
Yes.
So, we made the right choice, I think.
I really want to see Yuki's reaction to this.
Oh my god, I need Yuki to eat the cheese bread. He will die if he hasn't had it yet.
You know, it's amazing.
Just a reminder from last week, we will be skipping our Grand Prix prep episode this week. So we will be back next Sunday for the debrief of the race itself. But we will obviously still be on social media posting about our cheese bread and keeping up with all that's happening in F1. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at BoxBoxF1Pod and DM us or email us your thoughts. See you next week. Box, box.
Box, box.